Acts 3 tonight, Acts 3, and we will finish in Acts 3 this evening, be done with that chapter, so you find that. And Donna's coming to sing for us tonight, bring the special, and Acts 3, we will be reading from there in just a moment and having our lesson from there. We'll enjoy the special and then the lesson. Thank you, Donna. Good song, and we're going to find out that Jesus is the subject of Peter's message in Acts chapter 3 when we start there in just a moment. I thought it was a blessing to see Brother Jeff come in tonight. I haven't seen him since Sunday night and haven't had much to talk with him about that football game on Sunday night, Brother Jeff. But what's that? Just bring it, get to the lesson, right? You didn't come here to hear that, did you, right? That's right. But we do have a brewing feud here between the Minkowskis, who are extreme North New York Giants fans, and Brother Montgomery, who is an extreme San Francisco 49er fan. And I think the way to settle it Sunday morning, just have Brother Scott and Rich have an arm wrestling contest right up here on the pulpit, all right? And that way, if you're waiting to lay money on the game, you can see who wins the arm wrestling contest, and that'll kind of give you a little idea. I can think of much better places to root for football teams from than New York City and San Francisco. But anyway, my team's been out of it for weeks, so I shouldn't say anything, right? So, but anyway, all right. Let's have prayer tonight. Our God and Heavenly Father, we're glad we can have a little fun in your house, glad for the good fellowship, glad for the prayer time. I thought about that young man going to Iraq or Afghanistan, I forget, but he's going overseas and going to be in the conflict there. I pray that you'll please help him and bless him, keep him safe. I thought about all those folks, Lord, that have had surgery or facing surgery. My goodness, what an ocean of names tonight. God, please help them, bless them. Be with George in a special way. Lord, George is sick. I pray that you'll watch over and protect him, keep him safe. Bless Ruth, who's up there with him. Now, Lord, give us a good Bible study. Help me tonight to be a blessing in Jesus' name. And amen. In the first 11 verses of this chapter, we have the healing of the lame man who sat at the gate beautiful. We looked at that last week. The healing, his healing, was a beautiful picture, is a beautiful picture of salvation in many, many different ways. We talked about those last Wednesday night. Now, with verse number 12, the man is healed. Peter begins to preach a message to those who had gathered. The Bible says in verse number 11, greatly wondering. All right, so their mouths are, their jaws are dropped, their eyes are widened, and they're probably speechless, and they're just standing there. And Peter begins to preach to that group. Now, this is Peter's second message recorded in the book of Acts, his second message to the public in the book of Acts. His first one was on the day of Pentecost. We looked at that. And that message was in response to the question that the people asked, what meaneth this? Okay? So what meaneth this is what they said. All the noise and the men preaching in languages and hearing the message in languages from the native country. What meaneth this? What's going on here? And Peter preached an entire message in response to that question. Now, in that message, Peter majored on the person of Jesus Christ. He jumped right into the person of Christ. And he does the same thing in this message. He majors on the person of Jesus Christ. Now remember this, people. Much of what happens in Acts is in order that the followers of Christ might witness to the world about Jesus. The Holy Spirit has come upon them in great power so that the life and testimony of Jesus might be duplicated in them and made known to the world. Remember, that was the command that Christ left in verse number 8. After you receive power, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, that's really what Acts is about, getting the message of Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit of God duplicating the person of Jesus in the followers of Jesus so that the message of Jesus might help people who are in need. All right? Now, you know, let me say tonight, this may sound like a simplified approach to solving the world's problems. But friend, I'll promise you, if Jesus Christ would be accepted and if Jesus Christ would be lived for by the vast majority of the population of planet Earth, it would make for a different world in which we would live. And that's the honest truth. Now, look, I'm not against education. Education helps. And I'm not against strong economic capitalist system. That helps. But I'll promise you, friend, if the bulk of the world would name Christ as Savior and follow in His footsteps, we'd have a much better world in which to live. Now, okay, you say that's too simplified. Well, it may be too simplified, but it's true. It's true. It's absolute truth. Absolute truth. Now, let's look at this message here a little bit tonight, beginning with verse number 12. Now, the Bible says that when Peter saw it, he saw what? This crowd standing around, greatly wondering. He answered unto the people. Isn't that amazing? As far as we know, they didn't really ask any questions, but it's their look on their face. Okay, it's what they're doing here. Standing there gazing, greatly wondering, just their jaws are dropped. They can't believe what they saw. He says, ye men of Israel. Now, as he begins the message, the Holy Spirit leads him to direct his sermon to the Jewish people. And so he says, ye men of Israel. And then in verse number 13, he says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. So this message here is to the men of Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish people. If men of Israel, his first opening statement, didn't narrow down the group he was preaching to enough, his second statement did in verse number 13. He said, the God of Abraham. But now, wait a minute. When you say the God of Abraham, you are including all the Ishmaelites who were the descendants of Ishmael. But this message was not to them. That's why he went on to say, and the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, and of Isaac. So the God of Isaac, now we know which son of Abraham he's talking about. He's not talking about Ishmael, he's talking about Isaac. Okay? Now, but wait a minute. When you say Isaac, you include the Edomites, because they're the descendants of Esau. Okay, I just read about that. The other day in my devotions, the birth of Jacob, the births of Jacob and Esau, those boys. All right? So we included the Edomites, but God's message is not to the Edomites here. He goes on to say, and of Jacob. So when he includes Jacob, when he puts Jacob here, he narrows it down to God's chosen people, Israel, because it was Jacob whose name was changed to Israel. So he is talking here to the Jewish people. This message is to them. And so as he begins this message, Peter asks, two questions. I want to look at those questions. Look at verse number 12 again. He says, ye men of Israel, ye Jewish people, why marvel ye at this? Why are you marveling at this? He says to these people, of all people, you Jews should not be standing here greatly wondering, trying to figure out what happened to the man, this lame man, who was healed. You see, people, miracles and supernatural acts of God were part of the fabric that made up Israel's past. All down through the Old Testament, miracle after miracle after miracle after supernatural act of God was poured out through the Jews, to the Jews, for the Jews. And so Peter is saying to these people, he's saying, hey, you Jewish people, why are you standing here? The people of God, the descendants of the fathers. Why are you so amazed at what has happened? If I could elaborate. You saw the miracle of the deliverance from the land of Exodus. You maybe didn't see it, but you heard about it. It's in your past. The Passover lamb. Your people saw the Red Sea crossing. That great miracle. Your people had the provision of manna all the way through the wilderness. Your people enjoyed the conquest of Jericho, where the walls were knocked down flat without a single weapon being fired, just the people being obedient to God, and God knocked the walls down. That's in the fabric of your past. The defeat of the Midianites by Gideon, 300 men with pitchers, lamps, and trumpets. And you defeat the Midianite host without firing a weapon, that's in your past. He's saying the defeats of Samson and the defeat of Goliath and the experience on Mount Carmel when Elijah prayed 63 words or 68 words and God sent fire down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice. Elisha's axe head that floated and the three Hebrew boys, even though they were in the land of Babylon, God protected those three Hebrew boys like we heard on Sunday night through the burning fiery furnace and then Daniel in the lion's den. And on we could go, folks. All of these miracles, all of these supernatural acts of God were in the people of Israel's past, in their history. So Peter is saying, why? Why are you marveling? Why are you standing here with your mouth wide open and your eyes all bug-eyed and trying to figure out exactly what's happened here? I'll tell you what, folks. These people had wandered so far from God, so far from their heritage, they could not spot a miracle when they saw it happen. And that's a shameful thing. Happened right in front of them. And of all people, the Jews should have been the ones to spot a miracle, a supernatural act of God. And they're standing there in complete denial that it was God. Complete denial, because look at the next question Peter asked. He said in verse number 12, or why look you so earnestly on us as though we by our own power or holiness we had, as by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. He said, what are you doing? You're standing here all bug-eyed and your jaw dropped and you have no idea what's going on and you're staring at me and John as if we are responsible for the healing of this lame man. What's the matter with you? You see, because they had wandered so far from their past, and not just their past, the God of their past, they did not recognize the divine miracle that had just taken place. They were basically attributing that miracle to two men. What a shame. You know what's right here, folks? These people had the ritual of religion down to a T. They had all the external trappings of Judaism, but they had no relationship with the God of their faith. None. In fact, Jesus said about these people, "Your Isaiah the prophet prophesied about you. You draw nigh to me with your lips, but your heart is far, 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 far away from me. So far, in fact, that they couldn't even recognize and attribute a divine miracle that the divine miracle of God had been worked. Tried to make two men responsible for it. They were so, so far from God. Now, the problem was their refusal to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That was their problem. You see, Jesus was the link between them and the God of their fathers and all the miracles that had happened in their great history. And those miracles would continue to happen to the people of Israel, but they're going to come through the name and the person of Jesus Christ. And you know what? They weren't standing for that. They weren't going to accept that. They continued to refuse to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And because of that refusal, they were cut off from their past, cut off from their heritage, cut off from the supernatural miracles and supernatural acts of God. They are blinded. They can't see, all with their refusal to accept Jesus Christ as God's Son. And look what Peter said in verse number 13. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus. You know what Peter did? He attached Jesus Christ directly to their heritage. He said, your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of your fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus Christ. There it is. The mention of Jesus being God's Son. Now look, this is exactly what Peter had done in his message on Pentecost. He said, folks, the problem is you crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And here in this message, he does the same thing. He brings them face to face with the fact that Jesus is God's Son, and Jesus is the link to the God of their faith. Jesus is the link to their heritage. Jesus is the link to all the supernatural miracles and power of God that their people had experienced in the past. But when you shut Jesus out, you're shutting all that off. That's what he's telling them. It's exactly what he's telling them. Now look at verse number 13. He starts here in verse number 13. After he mentions Jesus, it's like you can draw a parenthesis around the word whom, and then do it at the end of verse number 15, because from verse 13, the middle of verse 13, to the end of verse 15, he lays the crucifixion of Jesus right at their feet. Look at verse 13. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. He said it wasn't Gentile. It's not Roman governor Gentile Pilate responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. Pilate was determined to let him go. You crucified him. You killed him. Look on verse number 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Remember that? Well, I got to release one at the Passover of the feast. Whom should I release to you? Jesus or Barabbas? And they asked for Barabbas. And Barabbas was guilty of sedition, guilty of murder, insurrection. Guilty. And they asked him to be released. Look at verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life. My gracious. Killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Brother, Peter said, look, you took the link from you to the God of your faith and your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the miracles, all the supernatural acts that your people enjoyed, you took the link between you and them and you put him on the cross. Pilate was going to let him go, but you crucified him. You killed the Prince of Life, but because he was the Prince of Life, God brought him back again from the dead. And Peter said, we're witnesses of that. Now, brother, you talk about hard preaching to a group of hard-hearted people. I'm not sure there's a preacher alive today that preached a harder message to people than Peter preached to that crowd right there. People get offended at hard messages today. And sometimes people say, man, I don't know how you can preach that way. I will tell you, we're 2,000 years removed from this. We weren't there when it happened. But when you go back and you put yourself in this situation and you realize who was standing there and what they were doing, we're not attributing this miracle to Jesus Christ. How did you guys do this, Peter and John? And Peter turns right around. He filleted them. You took the link between you and miracles like this, and you put him on the cross. When Pilate was going to let him go, you desired a murderer instead of the Prince of Life, and you killed him. That's tough preaching. That's tough preaching. That's like preaching to a group of a Muslim. That's like having this auditorium full of Muslims and just preaching the fire out of the idea of Muhammad and Allah and how it's all a fake and all a myth. And I mean, that's exactly what it's like. No, Peter reared back under the power of the Holy Spirit, and buddy, he preached. You see, look, the crucifixion was the pinnacle of their rejection of Jesus as Messiah. It was the pinnacle all through the 3.5 years of his public ministry. They denied him. They denied him. They denied him. They denied him. They wanted him dead. And so when they crucified him, it was the pinnacle of their rejection of Jesus as Messiah. And Peter said, in the crucifixion of Christ, you put to death the link between yourself and your great past, yourself and the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the other men who were like patriarchs in your faith. And so he just nailed them with that. And then look what it says here. Let's read on. Look at verse number 16. Okay, so that's what he says. And he said, by the way, he said, God brought him out of the grave, and we're witnesses of that. Now, look at verse 16. And his name. Now, whose name is that? The name of Jesus. Through faith in his name. Now, wait a minute. Whose faith? Because it wasn't the man lying at the gate. It wasn't his faith that made him well. Do you remember what Peter said? Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's found in verse number 6. So, whose faith in the name of Jesus Christ made that man well? Peter's. It was Peter who reached down and took him by the hand and lifted him up, and the man, God healed that man. And it was, you say, well, that's a strange thing. No. It happened before in Mark chapter 2. There was a man who couldn't walk, and four friends took him to a house where Jesus was, and they couldn't get in because there were so many people. So they went up on the roof, and they let him down. And Jesus, the Bible says, when he saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, rise up and walk. It wasn't the faith of the man lying on the mat who got that fellow that got himself healed. It was the faith of those four men who brought him there on a pallet and went up on the rooftop, tore the roof off, and laid him down through there, all because they knew that if they could get him to Jesus, Jesus could heal him. So it was their faith. So look at verse 16. And his name, now Peter's preaching, and his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, the faith that Peter and John had in the name of Jesus Christ, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. But he says to him, this is in your face, man. You've watched this guy lay by this gate for years. In fact, some of you have given him alms. Some of you probably threw him a shekel of silver. Some of you probably threw him a farthing. you probably gave this man. He said, right in your face, this man whom ye see and know. Now watch it. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Complete healing, bone, tissue, sinew, muscle. Remember the guy walking and leaping and walking and leaping and running and praising God? He didn't need a crutch. He didn't need a walker. He was completely well instantaneously. And Peter says, what are you going to do with this, fellas? He said, the name of Jesus, through faith in the name of Jesus, has made this man whom you know him, made him completely sound, completely whole, and it's done right here in front of your face. Now, you understand that that's what he said to them. He said, all the supernatural acts of God, all the miracles of God that your forefathers enjoyed in years gone by, starting all the way back there with Moses, and even before that, all those miracles, and this man Jesus comes, and Jesus is God's Son, and you kill him, but it is Jesus, it is his name, it is the power that is in the name of Jesus, it is the power that is in the person of Jesus that made this man whole. And you crucified him. You rejected him. And he is the link to your great heritage and to your great past. And you put him on the cross and kill him. And they're stunned. They're standing there. And then look what Peter does in verse number 17. He says to these people through the end of the chapter, from verse 17 down through verse number 26. He says, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God, and he goes on to look at verse number 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he goes all the way down through the end of this chapter, exhorting the people to turn their hearts to Jesus Christ and be saved. He tells them that Jesus has been preached unto them from the days of Moses and all the prophets, from Samuel all the way to the present, had prophesied about Jesus as well. He said, this is not anything new. This person was prophesied from as far back as Moses. And Samuel and all the prophets prophesied about Jesus, God's Son, being the Messiah. And that's what you need. You need to turn your heart to Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's what Peter preached to them after they denied that the miracle, they refused to attribute the miracle to Jesus Christ. And so Peter points them right to Jesus. He says, no. This is not me. This is not John. This is his name. Through faith in his name. The same kind of miracles that all your fathers enjoyed, the same kind of miracles that made up the fabric of your past, you just saw, but you won't attribute it to the right person. And he told them to repent and be saved. Now, I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 12 for just a minute. I'll show you something here before we go into a couple more verses in Acts 3. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3, familiar passage. The promise of God to Abraham about the promised seed. Okay? Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. Actually, the seed is not mentioned here, but the families are. All right? He says, and actually, let's read verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now, here's my phrase. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's the Abrahamic covenant. That's God's promise to Abraham. In your family, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is repeated in chapter 22 of Genesis. Look at chapter 22, book of Genesis, chapter 22, when Abraham takes Isaac up on the mount to kill him. And, of course, he's spared. Remember that story? And then you get down to verse number 17 and 18 in Genesis 22. This is God now speaking to Abraham. And he says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Here it is now. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. So you have God's promise to Abraham concerning the blessing that would come on Abraham's people through Abraham's seed. And God's very specific about the fact in verse number 18 that it will be in Abraham's seed. It would be somewhere in Abraham's seed that would be the reason for all nations to be blessed. Abraham, somewhere in your seed, someday you're going to see the reason for all nations to be blessed. Okay, now that's what God told Abraham, right? Told him that in Genesis 12:3. Told him that again in Genesis 22 and verse 18. Now, flip back to Acts chapter 3 and look with me at the very last two verses of the chapter. Acts chapter 3, verse number 25. He says, Peter's preaching now. Now, folks, we're thousands of years removed from that promise to Abraham. Okay? He says in verse number 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. You're that people. And somewhere in Abraham's seed is the person that's going to be responsible for blessing all the kindreds of the earth. Now look at verse 26. Under you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. You know what Peter said? He said, the one you put on the cross was the one that was the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. It's through him that all nations will be blessed. You see, we're not Jews. We don't hold that promise to Abraham like they hold it. They held Abraham in a position of reverence. They revered him. He was one of the most revered figures in all of their history. And don't you remember when the Jewish rulers were talking to Jesus and Jesus said before, we have Abraham our father. We know your father. We have Abraham our father. Remember that? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, man. They kept throwing Abraham in Jesus' face, but they would not recognize that Jesus was the seed of Abraham. Would not do it. Now, this miracle takes place. Peter says, all right, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And all these people come. How did y'all do that? And Peter said, no, you're mistaken. It wasn't us. You took Christ. You put him on the cross. You punished him. You killed him. You killed the Prince of Life, the Holy One, and the Just. And what you don't realize is that when you put him on the cross, you put on the cross the fulfillment of the promise that God made to your father Abraham, because he is the promised seed who would be a blessing to all nations of the earth. It's in Jesus that all nations of the earth are blessed. It's in Jesus that all kindreds of the earth are blessed. It's in Jesus that all families of the earth are blessed. All nations of the world are blessed because of Jesus. And the blessing is in the form of the salvation that he provided when he came to this earth and died on that cross for the sin of mankind. Every person's sin from history, past history, through the future history was laid on Jesus. He paid the debt in full. So salvation is available to all people. And friend, you know, every nation that has come under the influence of Jesus and the salvation he offers has been blessed. You know every family that's come under the influence of Jesus and the salvation he offers has been blessed. You know that. Sure, societies of people have been improved. Morals have been lifted. Education has been offered. Treatment of people has been enhanced. And civility has taken an upturn because of the influence of Jesus Christ. He was the seed. He was the seed through which all nations of the earth, all families, all kindreds of the earth would be blessed, and you crucified him. But God brought him back to life. So the plan is still on. And that's what he's saying to them. Jesus is the fulfillment. That's what he says in verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him. 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 To bless you. In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. By the way, folks, and I know this may not be give a lot of practical teaching about life that you and I live. I'll get to that in just for a second. Mention something to be done. But do you understand? Do you understand that the Jews, and to this day, the veil is still over their face? To this day. And in the tribulation period, when the nation of Israel as a whole recognizes and receives Jesus Christ as Messiah, then, brother, they're going to be blessed more than they've ever been blessed. It won't be long after that till Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem and rules and reigns for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. Yeah, I mean, this is an incredible thing here. And Peter took them all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. These Jews that were standing there with their mouths wide open. And how did y'all do this, Peter? How did y'all do this, John? A couple of ignorant common fishermen. And look what y'all did. And Peter said, no, sir. This is none other than the fulfillment that was made of the promise that was made all the way back thousands of years ago to your father Abraham, and he is, Jesus is, the seed through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And he said, God sent him to you first. Look at verse 26. Unto you first, God. You see, that's the program of God to the Jew first. Peter said he sent him to you first. The one through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He came to you first. You see, unto the Jew first was God's plan, not Paul's. Paul just obeyed it. And unto the Jew first was God's plan. And remember, friend, that Acts is the furtherance of the ministry of Jesus through the lives of his followers, made possible by the filling of the Holy Ghost. That's what we started with in the book of Acts. Jesus began both to do and teach in the Gospels, but he's not here anymore. And when he went away, he sent the Holy Spirit who would fill us and empower us and help us to expose the world to the life of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, and remember what he told them? He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where at? In Jerusalem. Right there in your Jerusalem. And the first group that God exposed the testimony and the witness of Jesus to was the Jews in Jerusalem. And Peter said, God sent the promised seed to you first. That in him, you might be blessed by this matter of salvation. God wanted them, the Jews, to have the blessings first. They had so much religion, so much ritual, with no blessing. What they needed was a Savior. And God sent Jesus to them first. And you see God's plan here. This was God's plan. Started in Jerusalem. Started to the Jews. And Peter preached that to these guys. Now, my thought is this. And I'll be done. We are to continue on with the witness of Jesus Christ to the world. Correct? We've talked about that plenty of times. Beginning at our what? Jerusalem. All right. So God took, in Acts 3, God took a lame man. This broken, lame man. And healed him as a testimony and as a witness because of the faith of Peter and John. Are you with me? God took a lame man, broken, wounded, downtrodden, and God healed him to show to Jerusalem that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Messiah, the answer to every need that you have. And he did it because Peter and John had faith in the name of Jesus. I submit to us tonight that regardless how late it is in the hour before the return of Christ, that God is still in the business of taking broken, wounded, downtrodden people and healing them through salvation. I'm not talking about physically broken, downtrodden. I'm talking about broken, downtrodden by sin and healing them. All he needs is some Peter and Johns to believe that there's still power in the name of Christ. It didn't start with the lame man. It started with Peter. I got something that'll work for you. Better yet, I got somebody that'll work for you. And because Peter had faith in who Jesus was and who Jesus is, in his power and his person, that man was healed. And I'll tell you something, friend. If we could get a few Peter and Johns at Faith Baptist Church, I am convinced that there are broken, down, sin-trodden people in this area who would experience the healing of the salvation that Jesus brings. But it's going to start with me and you. Having the faith to believe it can still happen. And you know why we lose our faith? It's because we get far away from Him. It's important for you and I to stay close to the Lord Jesus, walk with Him through Bible reading and prayer and a good devotion life and obedience to Him as much as possible so that you and I will keep our faith hot, keep our faith on the cutting edge. You know what? I'm still convinced that what the broken down, sin-trodden people of this area need is Jesus. Now, we got a guy coming here in two or three Sunday nights. His name is Glenn Nixon. He's running for public office. He's running for office in Springfield, Illinois. And he sounds like a good man. I talked to him on the phone today. He's a police officer in this town. And he sounds like he believes all the right things. And he'll be here on a Sunday night just to introduce himself to our church and ask for your vote. In the, was it March 20th, I believe, is the primary. Ask for your vote. And I'm glad he's coming. And it sounds like he'd be a great guy. But I'll tell you something. The hope for this area is not in politics. It is not in politicians. I'm sorry. And I know good men who give quite a bit of their time, effort, and finances to trying to help. But in politics, we get the right people in office as part of it. But the solution is Jesus Christ. And if you and I don't believe, if you and I don't believe that, who's going to? The JWs? They don't even believe that he's God. The Mormons? No. The Muslims worship a false God. It starts with us. You and I have to be the Peter in this. You and I have to be the one that says, you know what? His name, through faith in his name, hath made him whole. We need to be the ones to have enough faith in Jesus Christ to take the message of Christ to the people. If we would just get convinced that the message we carry is still good, it works, it has power. If we just get convinced of that, I believe God would save more people. I really do. I really, really do. Because that's what he did. He took this lame man and healed him, but it was because of Peter's faith. And he made him a testimony about Jesus Christ to all those folks in Jerusalem. And we'll have a great testimony. There can be a great testimony in our Jerusalem through people that are reached through the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. But it starts with God's people having enough faith to believe that it can still happen. Don't look on converts with suspicion. Don't look on them with a question mark, friend. Encourage them in the Lord. And believe that God can still change a life because He can. Amen. And believe it enough to go tell somebody about it. And we'll see God do great things. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, you're a great God. And I pray, O Lord God, that you'll please help us to have our faith sharpened and honed in the power and person of Jesus Christ. Help us to believe, Lord, in our hearts, as Peter did, that what people need is salvation. What people need is Jesus, because it's through Him that all nations, people, kindred, families of the earth will be blessed. Through Him. So help us to take Him. And when we take Him, help us to do it in faith, believing that You want to save people and change their lives and make them a testimony of Your power and grace. And God, would You please continue to do it until the day that we see Jesus in the sky. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name.